Welcome to the Canva guided meditation for stress at work. Impending deadline? Generate Canva presentations in seconds.
So fast.
Brainstorm got too big? Ooh. Summarize with AI in a click.
Click, 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 click.
Writer's block? Release with Canva Magic Write.
Magical.
Stress less and save time at canva.com. Designed for work.
Simplify your federal agency's technology procurement with Connection Public Sector Solutions. Connection's dedicated account managers, commitment to exceptional customer service, and extensive catalog of federal contracts make IT purchases quick, easy, and affordable. Turn your challenges into opportunities and get rid of your technology pain points with Connection today. Learn more about what's possible with Connection Public Sector Solutions at connection.com/fedcontracts.
HD Smartcast.
You are listening to a Mint production brought to you by HD Smartcast.
Hello and welcome to Mint. I am Nasreen Sultana. I am an assistant editor at Mint. I keep a close track of all that is happening in the world of stock markets. You are listening to All Things Markets, where I speak to experts analyzing the big trends moving the stock markets.
Corporate earnings grew at a robust pace in December quarter, even as overall economy has not yet completely recovered from the brutal COVID blow. Now that Q3 earnings season is almost over and union budget for FY22 is behind us, the key question is, what are stock markets focusing on as benchmark indices are hitting record highs day after day? To discuss that, I'm joined by Santosh Singh, Head of Research, Motilal Oswal Asset Management Company. Hi, Santosh. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Nasreen.
So, Santosh, as I was discussing before we started this conversation, it's like many big hurdles for the stock markets are actually almost over. Two big events, budget and earnings season is over. So where do you see the stock markets going ahead from here?
See, over a longer period of time, the biggest event was budget, actually, more than the earnings season. Earnings season was more about telling you that, okay, the recovery is V-shaped. And it doesn't give you anything more than the recovery part. At least the earnings season is telling you that the recovery has been V-shaped and the corporates have come out of COVID without being impacted significantly. However, from a longer duration point of view, the budget was a key event. And the key part of the budget, which in my opinion paves way for much higher upside on the stock markets, has been the focus on CapEx. So, and investments. So these are the two key things which were positive from the budget. I think that if the government is going to do what they have said, and they have reiterated multiple times, that is CapEx investments and privatization of PSUs, then a different sort of cycle can start, wherein we might see the corporate earnings growing at a faster pace. The corporates again investing, and that will itself mean that we will have a few years of high EPS growth. So, in my view, if I'm looking at 2-3 years, if the government does what they've said, we are looking at much higher upsides.
Right. I'll talk about the earnings a bit later, but since you talked about the stock markets, probably the budget is going to give a lot of triggers and impetus to the stock markets rally from here on. I wanted to ask you at this point of time is, despite the government's efforts to kind of reforms, measures, and the lot of money probably in the cycle of the economy, why DIIs are not participating in the rally at all? If I look at the AMFI numbers, last 7 months, we have been seeing a withdrawal by the retail investors. SIB numbers are steady, yes, but overall, the DII numbers are not very convincing or not very encouraging. It's the FIs which are kind of running the rally. So why do you think so?
So if you go and see any rally which has come on the back of a big decline, what we have seen is the first phase of the rally, we only see retail participants withdrawing. And the whatever said and done about DIIs, it is retail money which is flowing into the DIIs. So if the DIIs don't get the retail money, and if they see only a withdrawal from them, it's bound to, the DIIs are bound to sell in these markets. So that is a trend which we saw even after 10-11, when a lot of the rally in the beginning is missed by the retail investors because they have seen the pain and they want to take out the profits first and then participate. So I think it's a behavioral aspect of the retail which is causing, or some of the HNIs also, which is causing this withdrawal from the market.
See, in the month of March last year, when there was COVID, COVID had just started in India, the spread had started and markets had fallen. It was the DII money which had supported the markets. FIs were missing. Now it's just the opposite. When do you see DIIs coming back to stock markets?
So if I go by the past experience, my view is if the market remains where it is, or if it goes up from here at least, and then the market gets slightly broad-based, we would start seeing the retail pouring its money into the institutions. So be it the mutual fund or the life insurers, you would see much more demand for stocks from the or for the mutual funds or the insurances or other institutions from the retail investors. So it might take 2-3 months more. But my view is for that to happen, the market needs to remain stable. If the market doesn't decline significantly from here, 2-3 months from here, we might start seeing positive flows from the DII also.
Okay, all right. Coming to the earnings, of course, December quarter earnings has been quite encouraging with the revival intact. Consumer demand was better. What is your understanding or assessment? Do you see this kind of earnings growth is sustainable? And if yes, then what will be the triggers, or what will be the factors which could kind of sustain this growth?
So see, there were multiple reasons of earning growth. One was the margin. So one was the sectoral part wherein the corporate banks participated this time. So that part might actually start increasing going forward. So the earning growth because of the corporate banks might be a kicker going forward as well, because from here on, the earnings might be much better for them going forward. The second part was the margin levers which flowed in many of the consumption businesses. Now that margin lever, we need to see how much that is possible, because at the time of COVID, all these businesses cut their cost, and the cost cut was quite significant. Now, a lot of those costs in some of those businesses have not returned back fully. So we need to see how this margin levers plays out in Q4 and Q1 of the next year. But my view is some of the margin would have flowed through. So we might see some of that levers still remaining. The third part was the top line. And here the surprise in certain sectors was because of the pent-up demand which was created. So Q4 and Q1 will give us much more sense about the about growth, because Q1 was a lot about the pent-up, Q3 was a lot about pent-up demand which came in.
Right.
Q4 will tell us how much was pent-up and how much was actual.
Actual, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we need to be slightly watchful even for Q4 and Q1 numbers.
Besides the pent-up demand, there were also, for example, steel companies. They had a good quarter, one of the best quarters actually for them, because of the steel prices and the other raw material prices going up. But at the same time, this is a big negative for companies which rely on raw materials like metals or crude prices. Crude prices have touched $60 per barrel now in this quarter. Do you think this all will kind of start eating the margins? And also adding to that, companies have started getting employees in their office. So there would be travels also involved. And April, March is when employee also get promotions, hikes and all of that. So employee costs will increase, your commodity prices or the raw material costs may increase. And adding to that, the companies are also repaying their debt because moratorium is lifted. So all of these things put together, you think margins may look a bit depressed in Q4 and Q1 of next fiscal?
So that's what I was referring to, that some, see, the companies, firstly, there is a reduction in cost because of these reasons which you talked about, that the salary increases or people not traveling, travel being lower. So that was one reason. Second was the companies went for zero-based budgeting almost. So there will be a permanent reduction also. So we need to, so that's why I'm saying we need to be watchful for Q1 when we talk about the operating cost. Okay. So all these operating costs, I don't think that the operating cost can remain at the Q2 or Q3 levels in Q4 and Q1 and or in a 100% attendance mode, it may not remain at the same level. So from a Q3 level, margins may depress, but it will be also dependent on the top line because there will be an operating level.
Right.
However, the second part you're talking about, that is the commodity cycle. You know, this is a very interesting area, actually, because for last 6-7 years, we have been short commodities.
Okay.
So the businesses which were consumers of commodities, they have done really well because the commodity has been in a bear cycle. We have seen almost like a bear run in commodities for a very long period of time, especially the petrochem commodities. So now we are getting into, if the demand scenario globally, because last 5-6 years, the global demand scenario was also a problem. If the demand scenario globally improves, and if we are in a better commodity cycle, which means the rates are rising, then we will have to see how these companies, which are short commodities and which have been the darling of the market in the last 6-7 years, how they react and how they are able to pass on the cost, because the last cycle they didn't pass on the benefits to the customers. So will they pass on the cost to the customers? That we will have to see. Because if you look at most of these companies, the biggest lever in last 5-6 years was the margin expansion, which were the commodity consumer.
What would be your top sector bets? Is it infra, or you think that is the retail consumer-based companies which will still do better in next quarters?
So see, if and I always start it with if, because we have the government needs to deliver on that. So if what the government says and if it delivers, what we are looking at is a revival of the real estate cycle, which is already visible, there is a lot of government support there as well. Then if we are talking about the capex revival, so these are the two themes we say which gets played out. And third is the digital theme, which is getting played out for some time, and it will actually keep on going for some period as well. So if these three things play out, then what we are looking at, the key beneficiaries are going to be the real estate sector and the sectors allied with real estate, cap goods sector and the sector allied with cap goods. And if you, interestingly, what you will see is that the biggest beneficiary of all this on a secular basis is financial sector.
Right.
Because all these are capital consuming sectors. So what you have seen over last 6-7 years is, because these sectors were not doing well, our credit growth has been has gone into the single digit territory, and low single, I would even say the low single digit territory. So if at all this happens, we might see credit growth. So the biggest beneficiary will be financial sector. After that, the beneficiary would be all the ones who are supplying to these companies, because they are unlevered balance sheet to a vast extent. And then eventually the ones who are directly involved will also be a beneficiary, because they have been in a bear run for almost 6-7 years. So my bets will be more on, say, a real estate and allied real estate, capital goods allied to that, and financials, definitely, who will be the providers of that.
Okay. So the one of the biggest beneficiary of the lockdown or stay at home consumption was the FMCG sector and to a bit the discretionary companies. According to you, this FMCG companies or the consumer durables will not sustain the kind of growth we saw in the last few quarters because we are not staying at home anymore, probably, with lockdown being lifted, offices are opening.
So, and this is totally my personal view, that we started with staples, right? In the lockdown, we started with staples. Right. Because that was a need.
Essential product, yeah. Yes.
And because for almost like by the month of September, October, that lockdown was happened. So that need of sort of storing staples was over. I remember in the month of April, I was storing whatever was available to me on the staple side.
Right.
Yeah. By October, November, I was in a mode where I was consuming a lot of durables because I had no place to go. I had some savings, so I had to consume. And even my son's school was on a laptop or something like that, so I had to keep buying it. And even if I look at my house, I needed to buy a fridge or something, whatever I needed to buy, I bought.
Hmm.
Okay. So if I go today in a mall, I don't think that I have anything to buy on durables. It's looking difficult to me. So, but going forward, what as a person, I think that if this everything opens up, I will really like to travel. I would really like to consume or really like to be there on the discretionary consumption side. I would like to go to a restaurant and eat. And these are the things I would like to spend maybe. So what
so the contact,
seen,
the contact sector, the contact the travel and the restaurants.
Yeah,
and the
watching movies. These are the things which we are missing. So we have bought staples. We have stored staples to the extent that it was not needed. We have bought multiple durables, which, and to an extent, I think after some time, I'll find that I have got 3 laptops in my house, which, and 2 of them I don't need. So eventually I need to be, act like a human being after some time when everything opens up. So I think so the growth which we saw here, that needs to be seen if it can sustain, because to me, the part of growth may not sustain. There is a lot of pent up here. Whereas the area where the growth might be much, much higher are this the contact ones which you're talking about, because we're still to start seeing that.
All right, Santosh. On that note, thanks a lot for sharing your perspective and also giving your time. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Nasreen. Thank you.
For feedback, you can write to me at nasreen.s@lifemint.com or you can reach out to me on Twitter at Nasreen Story. You can also reach out to us at HT Smartcast. We are present on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And to listen to more podcasts like this, you need to log on to www.htsmartcast.com.
This was a Mint production brought to you by HT Smartcast.
HT Smartcast.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match 2 of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.